So now I share with you a reading from our Holy Scriptures, a reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verses 1 through 4. This is found on page 541 of your pew Bibles if you wish to follow along. Listen to these words. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Ours is a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. Open the gate and let a righteous nation enter, a nation that keeps faith. Those with sound thoughts you will keep in peace. In peace they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is a rock for all ages. God bless this, the reading and the hearing of his word. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, over the years of my life, I've come to realize an important truth. And what that important truth is that since we live in a fallen world, since we live in a world where there is the stain of sin that exists, then as a result of that, we will face times of trial and tribulation. We will face troubles. It is an inevitable part of life. It doesn't matter how much fame, how much fortune, how much prestige you might have. In this world, it is absolutely certain that you will face trouble. We live in a world where there's disharmony, where there's discord, and at times there's also chaos. That people don't always agree. People can't be of one accord with one another, that we can see that evidence in our government and in so many things that exist in the world. And as I was reading one of my devotionals, there was something that came to me. In one of my devotional Bibles, there was a passage that was really powerful that was lifted up when it comes to this truth. And it's a passage from Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. And I want to read these words to you. It says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And so I think that this is an interesting thing to think about. You know, I've read this passage many different times, and I've glossed over it a lot, and I've never really thought about what it said until I read it this time. And what's interesting is that since we live in a fallen world like we do today, it's like we're living as a mother in birth pangs, never really content, never really satisfied, always bearing the brunt of that pain. And so the Bible that I was reading, it's called a Touchpoint Bible, shared these words, and I think they're powerful. It says, we can't find contentment in our relationships, events, or circumstances. There will always be chaos because we live in a fallen world. Creation has always been moaning and groaning like pangs of childbirth since sin. And so I think this speaks to an important truth. As long as there is sin, as long as there is fallenness in the world, then it will never be perfect. It'll never be content. We'll always have to deal with war and conflict and things of that nature. And so we recognize this truth in our lives. And we need to know that there is something that we can do about it. What is it that we have to lean on? What is it that we have as our source of comfort and solace when the storms of life assail us? And how do we, knowing that we have chaos and fallenness and sin in the world, how do we live our lives with joy and peace as best we can? And so I think this brings us now to our scripture lesson from the prophet Isaiah. And I want to give you a little bit of context of what Isaiah is talking about here. The people of Israel are in tumult. They're facing a great deal of tribulation. Their lands are under siege. The Assyrians have already taken over the land to the north, and now the land of the south is about to be threatened. And so for the people of Israel, their land represents God's promise to them. Abraham promised a land to them long ago that would be theirs, flowing with milk and honey, a perfect place for them. And so their land represents God's favor. And so the people of Israel have been under a series of corrupt kings, and time again, they led them away from God. And so it was up to Isaiah to be the one, to be the clarion call, to tell them to repent and to be saved and to reclaim their land. But foreign invaders are ready to swoop in. And the people of Israel have strayed far away from God. And so Isaiah is calling out to them, repent and be saved. And so he reminds them of what Jerusalem is meant to be. Jerusalem is meant to be the crown jewel of all the land of Israel. It's supposed to be the place where they can look and see righteousness and goodness and everything that God should represent. That Jerusalem of all places should be that light shining for all the world to see. And so that's what Isaiah is calling for them. It's what he yearns for. It says, in the first verse, it says, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, and the nation that keeps the faith. So I think Isaiah's words are really important here for a couple of reasons. The first part I think is important is that he's lifting up the land of Judah, which is the southern kingdom, and he's talking about the strong city being Jerusalem. And I think the next part is the most important. It says, God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. So let me share with you what that means. And so our safety is not found in the walls built outside of the city. Our safety is not found in the turrets. It's not found in the cannons and the slings and the arrows. Our safety is not found in that. What our safety is found in is in our trust and our faith in God. That's what's most important. And that's what Isaiah was trying to get the people to understand, that no matter how many walls are built, no matter how many ramparts exist, no matter how many catapults are around the city, all of that can crumble into dust. But what can't crumble into dust is our relationship and our faith, if we hold on to that firm foundation of our God. So listen to these next couple of verses, because I think they're just as important. It says this, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. And so how do we live a joyful life? How do we live a life of abundance, knowing that there is storms of fear and doubt that assail us? How do we live a life of peace and tranquility? Well, I think there's a word that's important here. It says in verse 3, you will keep perfect peace those minds that are steadfast. So I want us to think about that word, steadfast. The definition of steadfast is this: fixed in direction, steadily directed, firm in purpose, resolution, faith, and attachment. So I want us to think about that in contrast with another word. The Greek word for sin is hamartia. And so what that word literally means is missing the mark. That word literally means missing the mark. And so think about steadfastness versus sin. And so if you're an archer and you're pulling your bow back and you're aiming for a bullseye, the way that you know you're going to hit it is if you have the bullseye firmly in the crosshairs and you look and your hands are steady, and you never deviate from that crosshair. You never deviate from the bullseye. Your hands are steady. And when you let go, because you're steady, because you are steadfast, you hit the target. And you see, to stay firmly planted, to stay firmly planted on the rock, we have to be steadfast. We have to be faithful. We have to be consistent. We have to live our life in such a way that we don't deviate from the will of God, as best we can, living in a fallen world. To stay firmly planted, we must be steadfast, refusing sin, and seeking to never deviate from the will of God. We because Jesus is the rock eternal. And he had something to say about this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, when Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So if we trust and we follow the will of Jesus, then we'll together build our house upon the rock. Because rocks, as we know, are heavy, they're dense, and if they're big enough, they're virtually unmovable. Rocks are known for their hardness and difficulty in breaking apart. You know, Ford's Motor Company's ad for many years for its trucks was that they were built like a rock. Some of you might disagree with that, I don't know. I want to get in the Ford-Chevy debate. But all of that to say, we should build our firm foundation upon the rock. To become unmovable when the sin and chaos of the world assails us, we need to build our lives upon the firm foundation of the rock of our relationship with Jesus. And so Isaiah longed for this kind of relationship with God for the people of Israel. He yearned for them to be able to seek God with all of their hearts, that they would turn, that they would repent, and their land would be saved. But the truth of the matter is that didn't happen. And the Babylonians came into the southern lands. And the Israelites were taken into slavery. And they had to live their lives in Babylon. But the truth of the matter is that through all of that exile, God was not finished with them yet. God had plans to bless them and to give them hope and to give them a future. So I want to share with you one more footnote from that devotional Bible I was reading, because I think these words are really powerful, and I hope that they bless you. It says this: "We find contentment in God's unchanging love. Our trust in his steady love provides the inner stability we need to live in an ever-changing world. We can deal with the chaos because we know that God can lead us through it and give our lives purpose and peace in spite of it. Look for your contentment in the eternal reality of God's love for you." You know, I found in my life that this is so true. I found that at the lowest points in my life, some of the darkest hours in my life, that is when I found more than ever that I need to be dependent upon God. I think it's in those darkest times of our lives that we really do get on our knees and we pray and we connect with God. You know, I think that we found that in 9/11, that during that time, churches were full. That, as the saying goes, no atheists are found in a foxhole. But I think there's something wrong with that. You see, it's good, of course, that in our times of crisis and trial that we turn to God. But why don't we turn to God in our times of joy as well? I think sometimes we become complacent. We become content with our lives, and so we don't stay connected with God as firmly and importantly as we need to. So why not do that all the time? Whether we're in a time of joy or in a time of crisis, why not stay firmly planted? Why not know that we are wholly dependent upon God, whether our life is going perfectly or whether our life is in absolute chaos? Through it all, we are wholly dependent upon God. And so I want to close with some words from a song that I've heard on the bridge a whole bunch lately. It's a song that I think sticks in my heart whenever I'm facing a tough day. These words, I think, are the soundtrack that I begin my day with, and it makes me feel better. And the song is called "Cast My Cares by Finding Favor." And I want to share with you the first verse, and I want to share with you the chorus. It says this. It says, "When fear feels bigger than my faith and struggles steal my breath away, when my back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, you're strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside of my soul. And so that's my prayer to all of you this morning. That when you face struggles, when you face times of strife in your life, that you'll cast your cares upon Jesus. That you'll know that if Jesus' shoulders were broad enough to take upon the sins of the world, surely Jesus' shoulders are broad enough to be able to take on your problems and your stresses that you face. That if you cast your cares upon him, if you trust on Jesus, the firm and solid rock, he can free us from the weight of guilt and worry and shame. If we trust in him and seek to follow his ways, joy and contentment will surely follow. Jesus is the rock of ages that we must cleft to with all of our hearts. And so, church, I want to lift up to you today that Jesus rocks. Amen? So say it with me. Jesus rocks.
Jesus rocks.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we celebrate your son Jesus. We celebrate that he loved us so much that he gave up his life upon a cross, that he took upon himself the sin of the world, and he saved us and gave us new life and new hope. Jesus promised in his word that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And so, Lord, let us trust in you. Let us trust in Jesus, the firm foundation, the solid rock by which we stand. Help us to know that when the trials and tribulations of life assail us, let us cast our cares upon your son Jesus, that he is more than able to bear them, that he is more than able to guide us and to lead us through. Lord God, let us be steadfast. Let us never be wavering in our love and devotion of you and to your son Jesus. And it's in his precious and holy name that we all pray. Amen.